Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Ha! I take my shirt off. Work all day, hustle and pray. Got nowhere to go, got to catch my shirt. My plantation, my plantation, my plantation. Ah, plantation, 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 plantation.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Shirtless Plantain Show, the soccer edition. This is your host, Mitch. I'm here as usual with Mateus and Emily. Hi, how are you guys doing? I'm introducing you together, so I'm throwing a curveball at it. You guys figure out when you want to talk.
I'm good, Mitch. How are you doing?
You guys did terrible.
You set us up for failure, so.
I'm not taking responsibility for that. Mateus, how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. As you can see, if you're on YouTube, maybe or maybe not, it says I have a bad hair day habit. That's true. Other than that, it's warm in Boston, so grateful
about that. Emily, how are you?
Doing similarly well. It's warm in New York. Recording on a different situation, so I'm looking at myself in an inverted way, and it's really throwing me off.
Yeah,
that's fine.
You can change the settings in that, just so you know, because it was throwing me off at the beginning of last week as well, and I had to flip it so that I wasn't, like, looking at everything opposite of what I expected to be, because StreamYard puts it in that way. But that's enough talking about how we're configured and how we're potentially on YouTube. Last week was supposed to be. I don't know if it was. I don't think it was.
Wait, no one. I don't think we should put this on YouTube. No one told me.
Maybe this one will, maybe it won't, whatever. Let's talk about the She Believes Cup, a game that Mateus and I were kind of watching while we were recording last week. The U.S. beat Canada to win the She Believes Cup in a dramatic fashion, in a nice little penalty shootout. And once again, Jaden Shaw was awesome. Sophia Smith was awesome. Is there anything else that we can say about this game that feels so long ago?
It seems like now when we play Canada, it's going to go to penalties. It's going to be a battle to the death. Even though, I would say the penalty that they gave to Canada, that was super soft. But as you guys, I was kind of watching during a work function, so... not too much to say about it other than Claire Watkins tweeted that like that Sweden penalty shootout like changed the listener on a molecular level, and I think that's very true. She's a psycho.
Yeah.
In a good way.
And I think it changed the fan base's relationship with her too at this point. Like I think it was kind of,
I don't know, she was always loved.
But now she's being put in like GOAT conversations for U.S. Women's National Team goalkeeper. And I get that a lot of Hope Solo's off-the-field actions has probably hurt her in the eyes of a lot of fans. But also, Alyssa Nair is probably the coolest fucking person to ever live. Like, holy, I don't know if there's a lot of things cooler in the sport of being a goalkeeper in a penalty shootout, saving a penalty, grabbing the ball, walking up, converting your penalty, walking back in the net, saving another penalty. That is one of the coolest shit. That's some of the coolest shit I've ever seen in my life. She's fucking awesome. And it was so, so cool.
Now she's like tacked on always to be the taker, which is nice.
Yeah, she should be. She's probably our best taker. Like, we get a penalty mid-game. I want Alyssa Nair running up from the penalty box to take a penalty. That'd be cool as shit.
That that poses like a little bit of danger, but yeah.
Whatever. It's part of the risk. You know she's going to convert it. It's cool. Is there anything else that we have from this win against Canada that we want to talk about before we move on to NWSL?
Another trophy.
Another trophy.
I just got this ends the Twilight Kilgore era, and our next game will be coached by Emma Hayes, so things are going to start getting interesting.
And I will be there because it's at Dick's Sporting Goods Park in Commerce City, Colorado. Let's go. I'm so excited.
Wow. We'll have someone on the ground.
Yeah, I'm reporting live for the Shirtless Plantain Show. They're paying me to be there. I paid so much money for that ticket. Let's move on to the NWSL. The first game that we are covering this week is Dash 1, Spirit 3. Emily, you have a personal vendetta to talk about in this game with the Houston Dash's Twitter admin, who started beef with you specifically. Let's talk about that.
I mean, they started beef with a lot of people. And now, I just want to say, generally, I do think NWSL admins are kind of doing the most. Mm-hmm. Like, to an extent where it's, like, pretty borderline. But, so this is what happened. We know the Dash, kind of suspect in their first few games. People were tweeting out, like, I don't know about Houston. Houston's not looking great. Admins screenshotted all of these takes and waited no time after their first win to post them all on Twitter. And I just said, you know, like, as a friend, I don't know, admin, not after one win. And they replied, like, pretty aggressively, using my name. And now they look pretty silly after they lost again. And not only did they lose in kind of, like, a huge collapse of a way, but it was reported a couple nights later that their record, not signing, but re-signing, record contract, Maria Sanchez, requested a trade. Like, that tells me that she has zero faith in Fran Alonso, the new coach, and that things are not going well there.
Yeah, this tells me that the NWSL has truly made it as an American sports league, because this is true NBA drama shit of, like, your best player requesting a trade after a bad start to the season. This fucking rocks. This is great. If you want to, like, MLS, if you want to be a true American league, I want to see Insigne trying to, like, get traded to Montreal or some shit. Like, I want some true dramatics like Maria, like Sanchez is trying to pull off right now with Houston. But yeah, not a great game for them. They started out hot and then a complete collapse. So super fun for them there.
Yeah, like, truly first minute they got a goal, so I think that was really inflating the vibes that they were coming off of from that win. But the Spirit, like, I want to say that Mark Krikorian actually deserves a lot of credit for his business that everyone was, like, kind of shitting on, turning away Ashley Sanchez and Sam Staub. For picking up four first-round picks, and we've only seen two of them, but they've been starters, Corey Bethune and Kyle Hirschfeld. Both have two goals on the season. They both scored in this game. They look really good. Both contenders for Rookie of the Year. And I just think he deserves some praise, because I think we're all very skeptical about it.
Yeah, I think it took a lot longer in this game for Washington to get going than I was expecting them to be, but because they didn't end up scoring until like the second half and equalizing the game. I think that Trinity Rodman was phenomenal in this game, despite the fact that she did not get a goal. I think she could have had a hat trick. She was creating a lot of good chances for herself. Was getting, honestly, an unreasonable amount of space on the right. I don't know why Houston was giving her the amount of space that they were giving her, because that's not a player that you should, like, be giving. You shouldn't you should not respect that kind of space with Trinity Rodman. You should just be closing her down constantly. But she had so much space to work in and was playing really, really well. And I think unlucky to not get a goal. And then it was just amateur shit from Houston. Like the second goal, from Radcliffe, like four Houston players are like just ball watching. They're just like around her and just like let her take a shot from outside the 18 and it goes in. It was very unprofessional and I just not a good performance at all from the Houston Dash.
No. But props to Radina Ratcliffe. I wasn't familiar with your game. I think I said when they signed her, like, does it move me? But that was a great goal. And the Dash, it was their 10-year anniversary in the league. Boy, what a way to celebrate.
What a way to celebrate. Let's move on now to the North Carolina Courage. They beat the Portland Thorns 2-0. And the Thorns announced today that they are moving their head coach to an executive position and are getting
technical director.
Yeah. Things aren't going well in Portland right now. What is going on, Emily?
I don't know. This is another dumpster fire. This is unprecedented for the club, who, you know, rightfully have really high standards for their team and how they perform. Four games, 1 point. 1 point from four games. You have Sophia Smith on your team. This is, like, it's ridiculous. So, yeah, they're doing, like, a very weird, quote-unquote, reorganizing. Like, I think this is just so that it doesn't seem as bad as things are. you know, I'm never, like, out here really advocating for people to lose their jobs because people are people. But I just think that the new ownership probably should have just, like, cut everybody when they came, just got their own people and started fresh because the organization needed a fresh start anyway. And even though I say that, I am also at the same time advocating for them to go back to Mark Parsons. I don't think you should have been fired from the Spirit. I thought that was like really kind of dumb, even though they've now picked up Barca's manager or whatever. But I mean, they had the good times. They had championships together. He was just there at their last home game with his daughters. So he's your man, I think.
Well, I'm trying to understand like the root of this, like why reorganize versus fire, like you guys are talking about. Like I think of like Dortmund, right, on the men's side with like Edin Terzic just doing the exact same thing, moving back into like a technical director role. And that's just because he's been at the club forever and they love him and they're like sickos for him and think he's like this perfect golden child. Is like Mike Norris like that, like revered?
He's only been there for 2 seasons, and he's, well, I think 3 seasons, did he count this one? 2 in 4 games. And he was only elevated as head coach because all of that stuff went down with their last head coach, where she resigned. But I don't really know. I think it's just optics. I think they don't want it to seem like it's a crisis, like it's a disaster. So I don't know. They said they're going to conduct a global search. So we'll see.
It's always global.
Yeah. But the game. Yeah. I think they're just like totally like disorganized in the back, which is weird because you have Becky Sauerbrunn back there. You did lose a good number of pieces that had been with you for a long time. Emily Manguez. Cuica left and went to Chicago. So there is like some, you know, a learning curve probably with some of the new players. But it's not so much that you would expect like this kind of just like not stepping to people. It's like pretty simple stuff, I think. They're just too easy to score on. They conceded 10 goals in 4 games, which is a third of all the goals they conceded last year. So it's kind of a lot. But, I mean, we know that North Carolina is a really good team as well. So, not to discount what they've done. I think Sean Niehaus is probably one of the best coaches in the league, like top two. They've just been, like, possessing so well, controlling games so well. And, like, you brought in Ashley Sanchez, but there's still not, like, you lost Caroline and there's not like that superstar there. So this is just kind of like, I think to me, a really good team that he's brought together.
Yeah, I was noticing on the Thorn side, like on the offensive end, the lack of chemistry is like someone to receive a ball, like Sophia Smith would maybe receive the ball between like the midfield and defensive lines, and everyone would just run straight towards goal. It was like four verts. Everyone going straight and no one checking two or no one looking to combine. It was just like everyone making the same run or even like mirrored runs on either side, like towards the goal. Like there wasn't any sort of like thought process.
I think they're just like expecting Sophia to like do the thing. The bird right. Name on her.
Do the soccer and find somebody for a through ball. It was pretty disappointing. On the flip side, Tyler Lussie, I noticed, like, I'm new to a game with the rolled-up sleeves. I need more men to do that. I need more men with little, looking at the rolled-up sleeves. We need some more customization of uniforms. Mm-hmm. The boys. I thought that was fun.
That is his style.
I don't know.
Former Thorn as well.
Oh, yeah. Let's move on now to Gotham 1, KC 1. Emily. Your team dropped some points at home against Tennessee. What happened?
Yeah. Whoa. You just had to be there. Let me tell you about Temwa Chiwenga.
Okay.
She is like fucking unreal. Just like her pace. I don't know if you watched the highlights or there's the clip from their opening goal or their goal. She's coming from behind the pack of players, like maybe 10 yards, and she sprints through all of them to get the ball perfectly from Bia, played in front of her. But it's just like, it's like a football play or something. She's like going through the hole, speeding through everybody. It's kind of like that thing that's like, how do you stop her other than like, I don't know, running in front of her, but no one can catch her. So I was really nervous, like knowing that she hit, like she was this dangerous going in. And I do think Gotham like kind of set up a bit naive to this. Like they should have been paying like 100% attention to her, like they did with Sophia Smith when they played Portland. Cause like someone just needs to like man mark her probably at all times. So they got in behind like that a couple of times. And luckily on the other occasion, Cassie Miller had like a really great kick save to stop it. But first half was really pretty poor from Gotham, other than like the back line kind of being not your typical, because he sat out a lot of the She Believes players. He also has been setting up Emily Sonnet like as an eight. And I kind of understand like from his, he has like a disorganized or an organized chaos kind of like philosophy. And she is a good ball winner, so I kind of understand if you want her higher on the field and she's winning balls, she can play in players. But when you don't have Midge or Lynn on the field, it's like you don't really have the same outlets to do that. So I don't really like her playing there when you don't have that. And I just think it's more balanced if she's at the six. I know like he wants to keep in those players who – like really earned it last season, but you've just got to make a choice. I'll say tale of two halves, because we came out in the second half like that's the kind of like game, that's the kind of football that he probably wants to play all the time. Everyone got more involved. He made a couple of changes. Nice Warner came in. Chris Dunn came in, and like suddenly there was movement everywhere. Esther got the equalizer off a corner kick, basically unmarked, which I actually filmed. And anytime I film a corner kick, like, no one ever scores. And it happened to me. So, kind of unlucky. And I was actually disappointed that we didn't win, because we probably in that second half graded enough. But I don't know. I think if we play like that, they're going to win a lot of games.
I heard in my notes here is that Vlatko doesn't have to do a lot of coaching. It's just, it's Bola Chiwenga. Figure it out. Like is there really any doubt she's winning MVP, or like is gonna like it's her?
It's a good question. Because she's been like involved in a lot of Kansas City goals. I will say, like, credit to Jenna Neiswanger, who she kind of looks small, but when she came on, she did a really good job of marketing her. She got really physical with her. So I was impressed by that because I didn't know, like, because as, like, a defender, like, I don't really know if, like, she's not obviously a natural defender. So credit her. And Lynn Williams is back, so I'm feeling positive.
How are you feeling about Midge's injury? Obviously, fucking sucks that she tore her ACL, and it's not fun to like watch someone who just watched or who just got NWSL final MVP not play for the entire season. And obviously, when she plays for your team, it's even worse. But how are you feeling about Gotham's outlook by like losing such a key player like her?
That was really gutting, especially when I didn't know when Lynn would be back. And we watched, I know, the last two games without, I think it's two games, might have just been one game, without Midge. And we just did not have a lot to offer going forward. Like, I don't really see Crystal Dunn as, like, a winger. We were playing there. Yasmin Ryan does... okay, but I also like her more as like an attacking midfielder too inside. So I was like, when I heard Maria Sanchez wanted a trade, I was like, but I really don't think it's possible probably for Gotham with who we already have on our roster to make that happen. And that's kind of also the thing with NWSL, like they don't make it clear like cap wise if teams are complying. So no one really knows who's able to sign her or trade for her or how much they have to give up to trade for her. But that really does damper our hopes. I think we have to sign somebody and we're able to. So I don't really know who's available.
So you're saying that Gotham didn't sign enough players during the offseason?
I'm just saying, so... I mean, a winger, like a natural winger. I don't know. Because Taylor Smith is also injured. I don't know if she'll be back this season either. And she was another depth choice at the wing. Like Katie Stengel's not really a winger. I did like kind of when he pushed Esther and Katie like more as a, like two number nines.
Mm-hmm.
Thought that could work. But. We'll have to see. I mean, Juan Carlos doesn't really believe in positions, but you just need, like, that outlet, like, that threat. Because without it, like, we didn't look too dangerous.
For sure. Well, let's move on now to Bay FC 3, Seattle Reign 2. I think that Bay FC deserved this win. I don't think it really deserved to be as close as it was, because I felt... personally, that the Reign second goal was very unearned. I was very, very impressed with Kundanagi. Okay. I'm going to keep fucking botching her name because I suck at pronouncing names. But I thought she was so, so good. She created so many chances for herself. Similar to the way I talked about Trin in the first game, where someone who didn't score, but I was very, very impressed by because of just the amount they were on the ball and able to create quality chances for themselves. But what did you think about Bay FC in this win against Seattle?
I kind of am loving Bay FC. Like, they play an entertaining brand. Like, they have a lot of talented individuals. And I think they're, like, they don't look like an expansion team to me, really, except for when they... you know, have these lapses, maybe defensively, even though they have a good, you know, defensive line. No, I think they deserve the win. Probably it is a little controversial because of that, that goal that they called back, which wasn't even on the highlights package. I found out later.
Okay. So I did not see that because I only watched the highlights package.
I was watching the highlights back today, just like as a refresher. And I was like, wait, they scrubbed. I'm like, is this like propaganda?
we can talk about this because MLS does the same thing.
Exactly. So at the point where it was 3-2 Bay FC, there was still a little bit of time in stoppage time left, and I don't remember exactly when it happened, but the Rain scored a goal, but the linesmen pulled their flag, and it went to VAR. And on VAR, it looked like it was tight, but to me, I thought it was onside. But obviously, when they have the clear and obvious rule, like, that makes it difficult to decide sometimes. And obviously, if they kept their flag down, it would have been, and it had gone to VAR, it would have been called a goal. So I think, I know that Laura Harvey was really pissed off about it, and basically, as soon as she sat down at the press conference, like, pulled out her phone to show reporters that it was on. But, so that was controversial. And yeah, they, like, scrubbed it out of the, which I thought normally NWSL show all of it. So I was really confused about that one. But it was definitely, like, peak, like, NWSL After Dark kind of game.
Yeah, I do think that Bay fully deserved it, despite the fact that there was a controversial part.
No, they could have had like two or three more goals, probably.
Yeah. Also, that 57th minute goal to take the lead for Bay FC, absolute fucking banger. Just laced it on a. It was just a bullet. It was incredible. It was incredible goal.
No spin. Like, no. Alex Laura is a baller. I think everyone's been knowing it. She was injured for a bit last season, so. I think people might have forgot, but she reminded everybody.
Where was she playing last season?
Kansas City.
Got it. Oh, was she the person that was traded, like, against her will? Like, where she was, for a long time?
Well, she was, like, she had just, like, probably confirmed with KC. They're like, oh, yeah, we're not going to trade you. Like, we like you here, blah, blah. And then they traded her. Right away. So I think she was BFC's first signing. But yeah, she got traded for, I think, probably roster protection.
But, yeah. But great goal from her. And a great win from BFC to win at home against Seattle
first,
like this.
First time win. Yeah.
Yeah. Very, very big. All right. Let's move on to MLS. First game that we're covering. I think it's a very interesting one. It's DC 2, Orlando 3. And I do not think Orlando deserved to win this game. I was just not impressed by Orlando basically the entire game. I thought that they, you know, you're able to score 3 goals. That's great. And Duncan McGuire's goal to win it in the 90th minute. Is a very, very good goal with an outstanding celebration, does a full flip and everything. It's awesome. Orlando wasn't that good, and DC created a lot of really, really good chances. Benteke opened the scoring. He's having a great season to start the year. What did you think, Mateus? Am I crazy for not being super impressed from Orlando for winning this game?
The one thing, first and foremost, that I noticed from Orlando kind of sucking is that Pedro Gallese is, like, not on good form at goal. Formerly one of the best goalkeepers in MLS, but, like, a lot of shots that he would have normally gone to are just, like, barely tipping or, like, rebounding and, like, instead of catching. Everything looked just, like, shaky, like, back to front, I think. They're probably just, like, disorganized after, like, a crazy offseason with, like, they brought in Luis Muriel. He's not playing as much as he probably expected to. Duncan McGuire starting, so they have like 2 strikers competing for starting time, but like not a lot of like center midfield presence. Facundo Torres isn't always that guy. But yeah, to get like a kind of a lucky break with that Duncan McGuire goal at the end with Bono, the goalkeeper for DC, out of position. I think they got, like you said, got like pretty lucky to, you know, simple to sum it up.
I mean, I'll give Orlando credit. I don't want to be a full hater because, like, to get a scrappy win is not an easy feat by any means. Like, they equalized on a corner, which, you know, a corners can be chaotic, set pieces. But their winning goal, Duncan McGuire does a great job there to be able to, like, find that space. The ball that's hit to him is great. I was really impressed by DC. I thought that they played a really, really good game. But it was just one of those games where you didn't like step on the gas enough to get farther enough away. And then 2 goals happen at the end of the game and you just kind of get shocked. And I think it's a really tough result for DC because I think that they are I've been impressed with them from the bits that I've seen from them this season.
Yeah, they seem organized. Troy Lessing has them playing, I think, really soccer that fits them, right? I think it's high pressing. I think they want to get the ball forward to Benteke. They want to get it on his head. And Benteke is still Benteke. He's going to miss some chances. But he's big enough to accrue enough chances to where he's going to put the ball in the net eventually. Like he did on this game with the looping header. He probably should have done better on the corner they conceded, right, where Brocalo scored, but he should have gotten his head of that one defensively.
Mm-hmm.
Nevertheless, I think they kind of live and die through Benteke, and that's and maybe one or two other players. I think Ted Kudipietro was a missing link this game. He's a good creative force. I think they get a little bit out of click as well offensively, but it's a team that's well set up, and it's a team that looks like they're all united and fighting. And kind of the opposite.
DC United?
What?
They're DC United? Yeah. All right, let's move on. Montreal beat Cincy, Mateus. What happened?
Oh, no, this game is interesting because you're expecting even away Cincy to put up a decent fight. But no, this was kind of Montreal running the show. One thing I just want to point out really early, Yedlin really early in the game had a foul on Matias Kokkerö that was insanely dirty. Just pushed him in the back while the ball was going out for a throw. Should have been a red card. He got off on a yellow, but Kokkerö left a hurt and Jose Martinez comes on. I think this is like in the 15th minute or something. I'm shocked it wasn't a red card, honestly. Just like an outright shove in the back and the guy goes off hurt. To get off with the yellow is pretty lucky there. Not a ton in the first half from either team. A lot of possession from Montreal, but Ariel Lassiter makes a really nice run into the area, taking some attention off of Joseph Martinez, who's trailing the play. It gets crossed in from the left-hand side and Martinez nails in the goal. Super easy finish, but a beautiful run to open that space up. And in the second half, there's not much from Cincinnati. Still, Yuya Kubo scores. Yuya Kubo's all over the field. At this point, he's playing second striker. Later in the game, he's playing like center back. But he gets a through ball in with a nice finish to equalize it on the 58th minute. And Ariel Lassiter scores not too long after that from a really tight angle and a shot that should have been saved by the backup keeper for Cincinnati. A gentleman named Khan, I've never heard of. I guess Salentano's out for some injury reasons. But this was kind of like a possession sort of like thorough beating by Montreal. Like there wasn't a time where Cincinnati looked super duper threatening. Acosta wasn't very influential this game. And they're not, just not progressing the ball between like defense and attack, like defense, really defensive third, and then like to the midfield. I saw Miazga have a lot of passes intercepted. If you're relying on him for forward passing, it's not going to be great. And Wobo doesn't do that. Their new signing, Pavel Buka, isn't great through the middle. And they lost both wingbacks during this offseason, right? They lost Barrial and they lost Santi Arias. And Yedlin isn't that ball progression guy. The left-hand side's kind of been like total mid. So there really needs to be like sort of a rethink of that midfield line for Cincinnati this season if they're going to be any better. But not a spectacular showing. I think Montreal deserved the win pretty thoroughly this week. And happy for Jose Martinez to add to his like 100 and whatever goal tally in MLS now.
Yeah. You know, you talked about Yedlin's challenge being like it probably should have been a red. If anything, they Montreal got the good karma for it because the reason that Joseph Martinez was even on the field was because of it. And he had a goal and an assist in this game. And I thought played really, really well from the bits that I saw. But a good win for Montreal. That first goal for Martinez was their first home goal of the season, which was a thing that shocked me when I was watching the highlights. But a good win for Montreal, since he needs to kind of get their shit together if they want to repeat as Supporters Shield champions.
Yeah, it's not looking great.
Yeah. Let's move on now to Charlotte 3, Toronto 2. Emily, what'd you think?
this was very reminiscent of the Bay Rain game in that it was just like utter chaos second half. A back and forth. Charlotte really started like super hot in the first half. Vargas had a lot of, I think, really close chances outside the box, and then I think he opened the scoring with the like kind of a rocket in the corner. Then Mateus, did they equalize in the first half?
No. The Abada goals in the second half.
That's what I thought. All the action in the second half. Back and forth. Prince, he had like two sitters. And then Albada, I think he had one that was called back. I'm not really sure what that call was for. Offside, maybe. But I think Charlotte probably deserved to win this one.
I think the first one, it was like he was like hit the post, then put it in the net, then it was called back offside. That felt pretty gnarly. I don't think that was he deserved that one. So for him to get a far post finish later was nice. Toronto looked foul for this one, I think, and came up short. Also, I believe did they get a red card later? Am I imagining that?
Yeah, there was two yellows. It was like really late in the game. It was kind of like, what are you doing? Like, does it really matter? Like, Charlotte scores the fourth goal because now you're gonna miss out on a game.
Yeah, like it was a late break from Charlotte and just like a pull jersey for a dog. So, yeah. But Charlotte, another home win, right? Turning the Bank of America or wherever they play, the Bank of America Stadium into a fortress.
It's always the bank.
I think that's the track they have to keep go on is win your games at home, do what you can away, and Charlotte has that crowd pumping, has that sort of energy in the stadium. That goal by Vargas was a really nice snap finish too. Like that ball was just kind of bouncing around the top of the box, and he was first to it, and kind of like a crazy rocket. Like I can't do that on a half volley. So credit to him for the snapshot there. A nice late home win.
what do you make of we had a long conversation about Toronto last week, Mateus. Your opinion shifting of them at all, or is this loss kind of instilling what you were fighting for last week of them not being very good?
I think it's the roster, right? I think you, like, in a game where Prince Owusu is scoring two goals and you're not winning or not even getting points from it, that's kind of a bad sign because you're not leaning on him from goals, right? Or you shouldn't be. So I think that's a bad omen. If you're getting production out of guys you're not expecting to and then you're not winning anyway, that's tough.
That is very fair. Let's move on now to another 2-3 game. SKC hosted Inter Miami in Arrowhead Stadium. They had 72,000 people there. Mahomes and Messi met. I don't think either of them know who each other are. One thing I do want to say for this game is that I've repeated over and over that when you watch Miami games, you should turn on the local broadcast for Apple TV because you don't have to hear Twoman. And I will always instill that. I do think that local broadcast just in general is kind of cool. I listened to it in a couple other games that I was watching, and I felt like I got better insight on the home teams because these are people that are like watching the home team every single week and like genuinely know a lot about the team that's playing, as opposed to like the people that are working for MLS Season Pass and broadcasting these games. They are doing what they can, but they are doing as much as like we can in terms of knowing every team super in depth.
Mitch, you're forgetting that Twelman is the home announcer for Inter Miami, effectively.
When they play home games, they have a radio broadcast, and I have listened to it. But with SKC's radio broadcast, I do want to quickly call out my friend from college, Blake, who works as the radio broadcaster for Sporting Kansas City. I thought he was fucking wonderful calling the game. I didn't have to listen to Twelman, and I got to listen to a friend of mine from college on my intramural soccer team call this game and call a messy goal, which is very, very cool. So shout out to Blake. That was awesome. There was one moment in the game where Suarez like missed a chance or something, and he said, quote, Suarez bit off a little more than he could chew there. I just thought that was a great call. So great stuff, Blake. That was wonderful. Now the actual game. Eric Tommy had a fucking game for Kansas City, and it's a bummer for him that they did not win because he played fucking out of his mind. Unfortunately, the pure star power of the Barca boys got it done because Messi got a goal. I think that was to tie it up, and it was a great, great goal. And then Suarez got the goal to win the game. Miami looked good. They were playing in front of a crowd that I probably half and half in terms of SKC and Miami supporters.
It seemed like the support for Kansas City was like really good.
Yeah.
But obviously, there's going to be a lot of Messi supporters.
I heard for like that the camera was like obviously like making it look like it was half and half. And from people inside the stadium, the reality was like 90-10 SKC.
Really?
But then the broadcast was like picking and choosing like to show Inter Miami fans for whatever fucking reason.
Propaganda at it again.
I guess so. Like, I don't.
There was definitely an insubstantial amount of noise when Inter Miami scored goals that would not have been the case if it was at Children's Mercy Park. I understand from like a financial perspective, as like SKC's perspective of like, we can have 70,000 people show up for this game if like Messi's playing and stuff like that. And I think from like a fan's perspective, like if the Miami ever comes to Colorado, I would love for them to play at Mile High and not Dick's Sporting Goods Park. Just from this perspective of like more people going to a Rapids game and stuff like that. I don't know the logistics of that with like ownership and stuff, but like I can also see the perspective of SKC kind of lost their home field advantage a little bit because there was definitely an away presence at this game. But I do think that it was more Miami is a better team than SKC. Emily, what did you think? What did you make out of this game?
I think they'll be really disappointed because that last Miami goal, that was like an awful mistake. It was just like lack of concentration or something, because I think they were really feeding off that energy though to like find the equalizer. To give it up then, just like, so like deflating. But that Messi goal was amazing. I thought his pass for the first goal was like so good. He wasn't even looking over there. He was like looking down and just found it like perfectly in space.
Yeah, that was actually crazy. I don't know how he found that goal.
Always perfect. So always entertaining, at least though.
For sure. I can't help but always want to tune in to Miami games just because as much of a hater as I want to be when it comes to Inter Miami, I can't help but be like, this is so fucking cool. I get to watch Messi play like in the US. This is so cool. And completely understand and respect anyone that is like a complete and utter Inter Miami hater, but there's always going to be a part of me that's like, this is really fucking cool to watch. And it was a good win from them on the road, but very cool to have 72,000 people in a soccer stadium for a regular season MLS game. Let's move on now to Minnesota 1, Houston 2. Mateus, what'd you think from this away win from Houston?
This was I have in my notes here, a supremely dumb game.
Yes.
Houston did, I don't want to say they did nothing, but they generated very, 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 very little. Meanwhile, Steve Clark stood on his head in goal for them. So God bless him for it. Minnesota weren't like particularly clinical, but they deserved something out of the first half. There was a chance pretty early where Will Trapp intercepts like Houston's playing at the back. Will Trapp takes the ball. He's basically at the PK spot. Steve Clark like tries to make a save, but it like kind of gets through him. Ethan Bartlow like out of like nowhere, like the center back, he's right center back, I don't think he's a regular starter for Houston, just like charges and gets it from like, he's like outside the box, manages to get it like off the line, and Will Trapp is like following the play too, like he's like kind of going slowly because he thinks the ball's going to go in. Doesn't matter. Like, hoofed it off the line. Like, there must be, like, a sliver of the ball on the goal line. So, like, game-saving play right there from Ethan Barlow for Houston. Sangmin Jeong was also dangerous for Minnesota in the first half, had some chances. But Minnesota concedes from a corner kick. Mikael, who's an underrated center back, by the way, for Houston, gets his head in the way. It doesn't. He actually doesn't really make contact to the defender behind him. Bran hits it off his knee and goes in the net past Dane Sinclair. 1-0 Houston early. It took until the 70th minute for Minnesota to get something. The second half is a little bit slower for them. But a really nicely worked goal. Franco Frangipane, hope I said that right, Argentinian guy, subs on, scores a nicely worked goal. It's crossed in from the right-hand side by Robin Lowe on a cutback. He has plenty of time. Berrizi in the left corner. No chance for Steve Clark. And Minnesota kept piling the pressure. They brought on Olu Wachee as well, who's like the guy who's had like four equalizers for them at home this season. Or that's what it feels like. He put another really good chance on the goal. But Houston scores out of like their only shot in the second half. It was Jacob Kowalczyk. I'm not Polish. Kowalczyk maybe. Complete solo goal. He puts it through Hugo Bakrot's legs, who I feel bad for him. I think it's his first start in the league. But just kind of a solo dribble goal. Megs, the defender, gets it on his right foot and shoots it from like 25 yards out. Top bins. Dane Sinclair never had a chance. It was like their only shot on target in the second half. 2-1 Houston. And that's kind of the game. Like, there was some pressure late by Minnesota, but it wasn't anything super convincing. And it feels really bad for Minnesota. I think they were the better team all game. Ben Olsen tried to make it like a moral victory. Like, oh, we like fucking like we find ways to win, whatever. We're down people. Koko Karski was playing the six. That wasn't a good experiment, but like we found a way to win. And it's like, buddy, no, you got like crazy lucky with this one. Like, I'm so sorry, but like your team did not play well this week. So that's kind of it. I think Minnesota can bounce back from this one, but Houston, if they feel like it's a moral victory, like props to them. But they really need to get some players healthy and come back stronger next week.
Yeah, I fully agree with your thesis that this was a stupid game. Because if I was a Minnesota fan, I'd be like ripping my hair out watching this. Because it was just like they hit the post like three times. And Houston just got unbelievably lucky, it felt like. But a tough day for the Loons. Let's move on now to San Jose and Colorado. I am going to throw to you first, Emily, because I want to get your opinion on my Pids winning 3-0 on the road.
You know, I thought it was kind of a sleepy 3-0. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think so.
It was a little bit, I know you had like some beef with someone online, so I know what you're getting at. But first, I do think the pen, slightly questionable, whatever. Scrappy goal for the second. Are you?
I don't think the pen was questionable. All right. Robin Navarro, open play goal. Yeah. I think it was a deserved pen. Like, Yarbrough fully takes him out. Like, fully takes out Navarro.
All right. I do. I will say I like Cole Bassett. I like his game.
Yeah, he's very good. It was a great goal from him to make it 3-0. And I agree. The second goal was 100% scrappy. It was definitely a slower 3-0. But a 3-0 win on the road is such a fucking huge result. And like, I can't emphasize enough how much better the vibes are this year than they were last year for the Colorado Rapids. Because I was watching this game thinking about the game away to San Jose last season, where we played okay. Espinoza just scored a banger. And then we just like kind of imploded and just like weren't able to do much. And then like got in a fight at the end. And this is a much different team. This team has like some serious fight on the soccer field and not like throwing punches, and has some fight to them and will keep pushing and keep going. I'm really impressed with the job that Chris Armas is doing. All these players have clearly fully bought in. And I gave Rafa Navarro a lot of shit last week. He got 2 goals and an assist. That is fucking awesome. Great shit from Rafa Navarro this week. I need to keep seeing that. If he's going to score scrappy goals like that from open play, that's fine. We need a poacher like that. We need someone who's going to, if the ball's rolling around in the box from a corner, I need someone there to be able to put in the back of the net. And if he's the one that's going to do that, awesome. I still stand by that. I don't know if he's worth $5 million right now. If we want to make him permanent, I would like us to negotiate that down and maybe not have him be a DP. But I loved what I saw from him in this game. I have to give him his flowers, especially after I was critical of him last week. And then the last shout out I want to give for the Rapids is Zach Steffen, who I thought, especially since week one of Portland, which I guess I could say for the entire Rapids team, after the Portland game, I think the entire team has just gone up a level. Zach Steffen has been phenomenal. And I think that something with the Rapids having a lot of fringe U.S. men's national teams guys on the team, like Bassett, Vines, Mihaljevic, Steffen have all been within the U.S. men's national team conversation, like around C teams kind of thing, it's forcing, like, if you're Greg Berhalter, you've got to kind of keep your eye on the Colorado Rapids because there's four guys that are like potential gold. But Mateus, you're putting together a Gold Cup team. Those are four guys that I think are in the conversation for the Gold Cup or for the Olympics, or in like Cole's case, for example. But if you, I think Zach Steffen is head and shoulders above what Drake Callender is. I don't think that Drake Callender is as good as Zach Steffen at all. Not even like a little bit. I think Drake Callender is fully on a team with Lionel Messi. And that is why he is able to get call-ups. And I think he's a decent goalkeeper, but Zach Steffen is significantly better than him. And I've been very, very impressed with him this season. He's been so, so good. Emily, you mentioned I had beef with someone. Who works for MLS and Apple said, like, man, San Jose is in dire straits. They just lost to the Rapids. It's like, man, watch the team. Watch the fucking Rapids, because this is not the Rapids. This is a playoff team. I will keep saying it until we make the playoffs. This is a playoff team. That's my Rapids rant. Let's move on.
This is Mitch's PIDs. It's not just the Rapids.
It's my PIDs.
We're totally revamped.
All right, let's move on to Atlanta 2, Philly 2. What did you think, Mateus?
All right, I'm not even going to talk about the first half because literally nothing happened. Second half, Atlanta putting heaps of pressure on Philadelphia. Just like their stadium came alive, they came out of the second half looking refreshed, energized. And once they get one, like, the fucking floodgates open a little bit. So Amado starts popping up all over the pitch. He finally, like, loops a ball in from the right half space. And, like, the thing about Amado's balls is I don't think anyone else in the world does this, but they're, like, it feels like they're 20 meters in the air. Like, they're, like, super high in the air. He arcs it down, hits Daniel Rios, who's, like, the third-string striker for them, right in the head. Nods it in, easy as you like. 1-0 Atlanta. Wiley follows it up a little bit later. There's a few chances, but Wiley scores a bombazo from his left-back spot. The ball's kind of bouncing around, unclaimed at the top of the 18. Again, just kind of after a broken-down play, he kind of runs in, totally uncovered, hits one with, like, lots of topspin, and it feels like it almost gets faster. It, like, bounces once, and it feels like it's one of those, like, it's like a Sonic, like, winding up in the video game where he hits the ground and just, like, goes, like, the ball, like, speeds up. That's what it looked like watching the shot. Goes right in the bottom corner. No chance for, it wasn't even Andre Blake at this point. It was Oliver Semele who got subbed on for Andre Blake. Not even close. 2-0 Philly, or 2-0 Atlanta. However, Philly fights back. They at this point in the game, they hadn't had much possession whatsoever. And they had a couple of chances. Carranza almost put one in the back of the net a few minutes after Wiley's goal. But then Tristan Mwamba for Atlanta plays the most unnecessary, random, just like he almost plays a clearance backwards is the best way I would describe it. Michael Luhr is able to run onto it, kind of like untouched. And rifles it past Guzan. Actually a really nice finish because Noah Cobb at center back is closing him down pretty hard. And Ura's not known as a nice finisher. But he rifles this one. It's not even close. Guzan doesn't get a hand to it. And then the second goal for Philadelphia comes off of a throw-in that gets headed out. It comes to Kai Wagner at the top of the box. Kai Wagner is an extremely one-footed player. He hits it with his right foot, his off foot. And it's like, it looks like it's like, it's on purpose, but it's like, you know, when someone's like really one-footed, it's like not, it's in the, like a duck. It's a duck of a shot. I'd say that. It's like spinning the wrong way. And somehow it loops over Brad Guzan into the side netting. He's all taking credit for it. Like he just like scored a wonder goal. Like, buddy, I know I'm one-footed too. I know what your goals look like. That was ass. But congratulations on your second goal. So 2-2 Atlanta Philadelphia. There's a lot of pressure from both teams towards the end of the game. I will say the throw-in from which Kai Wagner scored was also mega illegal. I think it was Nathan Ariel to the throw-in. There's like a foot, like his like front foot is like a whole yard onto the field, it feels like. So that was fucked up. And then the game ends at exactly, it was 6 minutes of added time. The game ends exactly 96-01 while Philadelphia is like on the break and Gazza gets the ball at the top of the box. So the ref maybe had a little money on the draw. Like, I don't know what the hell's going on. But like Gazza was about to wind up for a shot and he blew the whistle. So that was kind of a tough look. I know some players got fined today for confronting the referee after the game, like a mass confrontation fine. It's a new rule this season. But interesting game, Atlanta. I'd say that. I think Philadelphia deserved the comeback there. I think their push at the end was pretty strong. So a deserved 2-2, I'd say.
All right. Let's move on to the last game that we're covering this week, which is Portland 2, LAFC 2. Emily, what did you think about this game?
Interesting. Well, all the action basically happened in the first half, but I think LA is going to leave there thinking they should have had all 3 points after Portland went down a man in the second half. Like, they had all the possession, basically. And for a team that's, like, can see a lot of goals in Portland, like, they should have found a winner there. But Evander for Portland, I'm really impressed with his game. He was involved with the first goal, put a really nice, like, chip cross in for Mero, who, honestly, they should have given it to Evander because I don't even think it hit Mero. Like, it kind of, like, grazed his shin guard, maybe. But it ended up in the goal. Hugo Lloris, obviously. Statue, not doing anything.
Bum
of a keeper. The second goal came from Mascara playing in a nice cross that Evander took down his chest and like volley roofed it into the net. Really nice goal. LAFC, like their goals came from Bogosh?
Yep.
Is that right? He had a nice goal, like really nice build up from them to equalize in that first half. Like there was a nice pass from Tim Tillman through traffic and he puts it far post. Nice finish. And then second half, Crepeau kind of like, I have no idea what he was doing. He takes out Bwanga, like trips him. I'm pretty sure it was Bwanga. Trips him on the edge of, like, it was outside the box, so it wasn't a penalty. It set up Bogosh for a really nice free kick. Obviously, they had to change keepers because Kripu got a red card. But it was a little bit chaotic. But in the end, like, LAFC, like, didn't manage anything else. They still had, I don't know, 30 minutes to do something and couldn't find a winner. So I think Portland lucky to get a point. LAFC probably upset.
All right. Yeah. Well, I love seeing Phil Neville's teams choking. That's great.
They're not in very good form. Yeah.
Yeah. Phil Neville and Steve Cherundolo kind of raced to the bottom coaching wise a little bit, honestly. That's not true. That's a little bit
of a slow start for LAFC. All right. Well, that is all for us this week here on the Soccer Edition. We'll talk to you guys again next week. I'm going to be watching the Portland Timbers live this next weekend. I'm going to be in Columbus watching Crew Timbers. So I'm very excited to report on that.
You're all over the place, man.
Yeah, I know. I'm a tourist MLS fan. It's great. That's all for us this week. Everyone say peace.
Bye.
Peace.
Ha! I take my shirt off. Ha! Work all day, hustle and pray. Got nowhere to go. Got to catch my shirt. My plantation. My plantation. My plantation. Ah. Plantation. Plantation. Plantation.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.